Okay, today's siyum is Mukdash le Refuah Shlema Avnei Taneli Lam Ben Shena Tzipora and Sara Bacha Bat Yenta. Okay, we're going to start our siyum. We're going to do Kritu Daf Kavchet. We're going to start at the Mishnah in Kavzayin Amubet. Actually, sometimes the end of Masechtot, you get the feeling that there's something more going on. They're trying to get to some broader idea. Sometimes it's harder to find. This one is actually kind of interesting. It really shifts gears all of a sudden at the end, so we'll see. Okay, the Mishnah starts out, the Mishnah on Kav Zayin Amubet. Mevi'im mehekdesh kispa si'ira. Mehekdesh si'ira kispa. Before we even start, let me just preface. We're talking right now about the Korban Olevi Yored. If you remember, in Vayikra Hey, we discussed the... we didn't discuss it in Vayikra because we're learning Gemara, but we mentioned this parak many times with the sliding scale sin offering. So if you're wealthy, you bring a kispar sira if you did a sin. If you're a little bit less wealthy, you bring the birds, a pair of birds. And if you're less wealthy than that, you bring a mincha, a meal offering. So let's say you took money that you designated for a kispa, and instead you want to use it for a si'ira, for the chatat. You could bring it either from a kispa or a si'ira. So they say you can do that. You can switch the money easily from a kispa to a si'ira, right, from a lamb to a goat. And mehekdesh si'ira kispa, and from a goat to a lamb. Umehekdesh kispa u'si'ira torim u'bnei yonah. Okay, we're going to see in a minute what the case is, so maybe I'll wait with it. But you can switch a kispa and si'ira to a pair of birds. Or mehekdesh torin ubnei yonah asiri taifa. Or if you designated money for a pair of birds, you can switch it to the meal offering. Now, in which case would you do this? Ketzad. Hifrish lekispa usira heeni. Let's say you set aside money for the wealthy offering because you had the money. Then you became poor. Okay. Yabi'of. So interestingly, what they allow you to do is to say, well, it's true you set aside the money, and normally once you set aside money, it's hekdesh, and there's something you could do with it. But in this case, since you got poor, and really for that korban, you really only need a pair of birds now, we'll let you buy a pair of birds and take the rest of the money and use it for the things you need it for. Right? This is, again, special dispensation for people who have financial trouble. We allow them to do this. He'ani yavi asiri taifan. Again, if you separated it for the birds, and then you got even more poor, then you can use it for the asiri taifa, for the meal offering. Hifrish la'asiri taifa ha'ashir. What if you set aside money to buy a meal offering and then all of a sudden you get rich? Can you use the money from your meal offering to buy the more expensive offering? So yavi of. You can. Okay? You can use that money to buy an of. Ha'ashir yavi kispa usira. And obviously you're going to have to add more money. The money that you set aside for each one, you can basically add to it and bring something on a higher level. So now the Gemara is going to start off and say, Manan and Mile, where do we derive this from? Ditanu Rabbanan, Mechatato, Mechatato, Alchatato. Okay, this is one of those examples. If you don't look inside what they're talking about, you don't understand anything. What are these words? These words are from each of the sections of Vayikra Hey, where it discusses which korban you bring. So when it says, Ve'viet Ashamo La'ashem Achadana, Nekeva Menatzon, okay, it says, Kisbao Sirat Izim. Okay, there's the kispar sira. V'chiper aleha kohen mei chatato. Mei is always, what do we always learn from mei? Mei means from, meaning not all of it. Okay, here we're going to get to, you could take some of the money and use it for something else, because it's mei chatato. And then it says, and if you can't afford that, im lo tasig yado deseh, v'viyat ha-shamo asher chata shtei torim o shnei b'nei yona, you bring the two pairs of birds, echad l'chata v'echad l'ola, ve'vi otam el kohen ve'kriv et asher l'chatat, etc. And then it says, v'chiper alav kohen mechatato. Again, it says mechatato. And in the asirid haifa, I'm not going to go through the psukim, but when it gets to the meal offering, what does it say? Al chatato. Okay, al we're going to understand to mean the opposite of me. Al means you can add to it. Okay, and that's why right when you get to the bottom, you can't take less of it. You actually go up in, right? You add more to it. So that's what they're going to darshan. Matamulama. Minayin ata omer shemidiim mehekdesh kispa sira umehekdesh sira kispa umehekdesh kispa usira torim ubnei yona umehekdesh torim ubnei yona asiri taifa. How do you know, again, this is just a review of our Mishnah, that if you designated a kispa, you can take a sira, or a sira, you can take a kispa, or a kispa and sira, and you got poor, you could bring a bird from that money, and then keep the rest of the money for yourself, or if you got even more poor, you could buy a meal offering. Or if you took a meal offering and you got wealthier, you could buy a bird with that money. Or you got to be more wealthy, you can buy a kisbar sira with that money. Again, you'd have to add on your own money in those two last cases. So, and likewise, they're going to bring another case, which wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. Hifrish kisbar sira v'nistavu. Let's say you designated not money, that was all what we were talking about until now, but now you designated an animal already. Now, once you designate an animal, you can't redeem it unless what? Unless it gets a mum. Well, let's say you designated the animal v'nistavu and it got a mum. Im ratza, now let's say you got poor in the meantime, and now what are you going to do? So you got a mum, you can sell it, and you're supposed to take the money and buy another kisba and sira. But in this case, you lost a lot of money in the interim, and you're not as wealthy anymore, so you don't have to bring a kisba or sira. So yavi b'demayim of, you can bring a bird with that. But here we're going to have a difference. If you separate a bird and it gets a mum, now here's a bit of a problem. If you remember, we learned that there's no din of mumim by birds. So what are we talking about? Well, even though there's no din of mumim by birds, if it actually breaks a limb, and it's a serious mum, then you can't bring the bird. However, since generally we say there's no din of mumim, they also learn that there's no pidyon by birds. You can't be podet. So therefore, hifrish ofen nista'ev, lo yavi b'dama basirit ha'ifa. If you then got more poor, you can't buy an asirit ha'ifa with this because ain la'of pidyon, because there's no din of pidyon by an of, and therefore, in this one case, you'd have to take money out of pocket, and you can't use that money to buy the asirit ha'ifa. L'chein ne'emar, now we get this all from, mechatato and alchatato. So now again, mechatato means, right, you're at the higher level, you want to go down, you can take less money from it, right? You can take from that money and buy something less. That's why the mechatato appears by the, right, the ashir and the ani benoni, we'll call him, the average ani, rather than the ani me'od, I don't know what to call him, but the really poor person. Okay, so by the ashir it says mechatato, because you can take the money you designated and buy something less. Also, by the bird, it says mechatato, and by the anima od, it says alchatato, and that's to teach you, you can add money to what you designated to go up in level if you become rich. Okay, v'itzrich lemechtav, now we're going to have to say, well, why did it need to say mechatato twice, right? So, itzrich lemechtav mechatato gabe kipsau sira, v'itzrich lemechtav gabe of, it needed to say it both places, why? If it just said it in the first case, what would we have thought? You might have thought, fine, I get why you could take some of the money and buy a bird. Why? Both of them are things that you sheft and there's blood. So they're in a similar category. So I could see that you could take money from one and move to the other. But there's no blood in a meal offering, right? It's just flour and water, some oil. Well, in this case, actually, it doesn't, if I remember right, it doesn't have frankincense because it's the minchat chotei. I think it might have oil. But ilo k'tiv kra mechatato gabe of, if it didn't say it by of, hava mina kimak reshot l'kino ume'ani, if you did it for your birds and you got poor, lo ma'iti asiri taifa, dilav minei dedamimhu. You might have thought you can't do it because there's no blood. You might have thought you had to take money out of pocket, not from this money you designated already. You'd have to take new money and buy an asirit ha'ifa. And then what would you do with the money that you had designated? That's what we always say. When you don't have anything to do with the money, you can't use it, what do you do with it? You put it in the coupon. From there, they would buy korbanot ola. That's why it says mechatato gabe of. To teach you this. Okay, now we go on. What if you were mafresh for asirit ha'ifa, but before you brought it, he'eshir, you already got wealthy, nosif alehen v'neite of. Right? You would then add to that money and bring a bird. He'eshir, if you get even more wealthy, nosif alehen v'neite kifsau sira. And that, basically, they're basically saying, that's what we learned. They don't say it in words, but that's what we learned from al-chatato, that you can go up in level. But what's the problem? Really, theoretically, you could go up in level from the ani to the real ani to the ani benoni, but also you could go up in level from the middle category to the higher category. Why doesn't it say al-chatato there? right? And theoretically, they're going to ask, why didn't it say al-chatato there instead of in the bottom case? And you would have known, if you can go from there to there, you can go from there to there. And obviously, what are they going to say? If they have it in the middle, right, you would have thought, and of and kivsah are both minei damim, but asirit haifa isn't, so that's what it's, this Gemara is very repetitive. Okay, so now they're saying no. Why do they say it dafka by the asirit haifa and not by the of? If he separates money for his nest of birds and he gets wealthy, who de mosif alehan? In that case, you'd add umayte kipsa usira ditravayim minei damim ninu, because both have blood. Aval he frishmo lasirit haifa veheshir ilo heshir tuva. Wait, there's something in the girsa here. Veheshir halin de mafrish. So halin de mafrish ilu heshir tuva, right? And if you were to get more wealthy, neite of in other words, you would have thought that by Yisrit Haifa, you wouldn't be able to do it because they're two different categories, and you might have to take your own money and put that money into Nidavah. The Midrash Kedam Rinan. Here's the Misakem Pasuk. That's why it says Mechatato in the first two and Al Chatato in the last. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya. Mitame Mikdash Ashir, Shefrish Ken Lekipsato, Veheni, Ho Ilvenitcha Idache. Now we're going back to this thing about dichoy by animals. If you become Tame, right, you're Tame and you go into the Mikdash by accident, and then you designated a Ken, but really you were high of a Kipsa. You were wealthy, and instead you took the wrong Korban. So now what happens? So first of all, when you do that, what happens? It's not valid. So your korban is what we call nidche. That those birds cannot be brought as a korban anymore if you hold balei chayim nidchim. Right? Remember, once it's not ra'oi to go on the mizbeach, it can never be ra'oi. That's what dichoy means. So if you separated this ken l'kivsato, but then before you sacrificed it, what happened? He'eni, you became poor. At this point, you can actually bring the birds. But what's the problem? They were rejected. Ho'il v'nitcha yidache. Since they were already rejected, you can't now reuse these birds. What do you have to do? They have kedushat damim, what we say, and you have to basically sell them, and then you have to wait till they get a mum, sell them, and then, or wait till they're not ra'oi, sell them, and then use the money to buy the korban. So Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua, Shma Mina Tla. Just like we saw yesterday, we can infer three things from here. Shma Mina, Ba'alei Chayim Nidchim. Animals can be Dachoy L'Gabei Mizbeach. U'Kedushat Damim Madche. Even if it's only valued at Kedushat Damim, you might have thought, this is what we saw yesterday, that only something that's Kedushat Haguf, that's inherent Kedusha, can be pushed off. No, even Kedushat Amim, if its value, only its value is sanctified, still it could be something that we consider nidche me'amizbeach. V'dachoy me'ikara ha'vedichoy. And the same thing we said yesterday also, which is, this was never, ever ra'oi to go on the mizbeach, because from the moment you designated, you were mistaken, you did the wrong thing, it wasn't valid for a korban, which is different from something that was valid, let's say it became tamei, and then it became invalid. You might have thought maybe only that's dachoy because it was good and then got rejected. No, rejection from the beginning. Maybe this is interesting about rejection in general. Sometimes you're always happier to be rejected from something from the very beginning. It's less painful, right? You kind of just know from the start. Something like this. Like here you had hopes. You thought you could bring it and then it got rejected. Maybe that's much worse. No, in fact, both are considered dachoy. Even dachoy me'ikara. Mativ Rav Ukvar Bar Chama. So now he asks the question on one of the conclusions we just said. Hamafrish nekeva lepischo. If you designate a female animal for a korban pesach, which isn't good, okay, because it's only you can only bring the pesach from a male. Korem hapesach. If you did it before the pesach, tire ad shetistaev v'timacher v'yaviv v'dameh pesach. So what do? You leave it to graze. You buy a new animal, right? You sell it. You buy a new animal in its stead for the korban pesach. Yalda Zachar, if she gives birth in the meantime, let's say she's pregnant, she gives birth in the meantime to a male offspring that can go for Korban Pesach. Maybe it can be used. No, according to Tanakama, even that one year out, she's to Evi Macher V'Yavi B'Dama Pesach. Why? Because it came from an animal that was already rejected, and therefore it's no good. But here comes the problem. Rabbi Shimon Omer, who atzmo yikrav Pesach? you can actually use that male animal for a Pesach. So what do you see from here? Shema mina, ba'alei chayim einam nidchim. What do you learn from here? According to Rabbi Shimon, ba'alei chayim are not nidchim, because you can use, right, again, the zachar itself wasn't nidche, but he came from an animal that was nidche, and generally we view offspring as having the same tchunot as the mother, and therefore, you see here, ba'alei chayim einam nidchim. So what's the obvious answer? Amrei debei Rabbi Yashaya, ki amrinan l'rabbanan. Right? I hold like Rabbanan, who disagreed with Rabbi Shimon. It was as kind of a strange question as it was, because the answer was pretty obvious. Now, what do they say? But to Rabbi Shimon, sfirale ba'alei chayim einam nidchim, v'hagrala einam ma'akevet. He holds two things that are interrelated when it comes to the seirim for Yom Kippurim. I've had a lot of dealings with Yom Kippur lately. You'll be very prepared. Assuming the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt and we started bringing the seirim. You'll at least understand the avoda in Musaf. So, what does Rabbi Shimon hold? Ba'alei chayim einam nidchim. Okay, what does this have to do with the seirim? We'll see in a minute. And hagrala is not ma'akevet, meaning theoretically you could bring the seirim without doing the goral. Remember, they do a goral, one la'ashem, one la'asazel. If you remember, we had a whole debate about this issue. What happens if, detanya, we'll see now, as they see in a braita, mate echad mehem. You take the two seirim, you do the goral, one la'ashem, one la'asazel. Now, in the meantime, one of them dies. Now, in order to do the avoda in each, you have to have a zug that's alive. So if one of them died, what do you do? If you remember, there were all these different opinions. Do you have to do a new goral? The first one, first of all, as soon as one of them dies, the other one at that point can't be sacrificed. So that animal is nidche, right? So theoretically, you would say, if you hold ba'alei chayim nidchim, you can't bring that animal again. What do you have to do? Do a new goral, two more animals, take those two animals. But according to Rabbi Shimon, meit echad mehem mevi chavero shelo b'hagrala. Because Divrei Rabbi Shimon, he says that what do? You bring just another seir, and since you don't need a goral, therefore, if, let's say the one Lazazel died, you bring a new seir, you say that one goes Lazazel, and be done with it. And bring the first one, LaHashem. So what do you learn here? Balei chayim einam nidchim. And why is it connected to Hagrala einam ma'akevet? Because if you don't need a goral, well then you can just take another one without having gone through a goral. So Alma Kasavar, Balei chayim einam nidchim, Hagrala einam ma'akevet. And with that we answer the question, because we just say, oh yeah, that you concluded Balei chayim einam nidchim. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Okay, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that. Amar Rav Chista. Halacha now by Rav Chista. Ein hakinim mitparshot ela ibelekicha ba'alim ibasiat kohen. When you take these two birds, generally people would put money aside and say, okay, this is for the pair of birds. It's always one is chatat, one is ola. Now let's say you didn't say which money is for which. So at which point is it determined that, at which point is your determination that this is lechatat and this is for ola? At which point is it effective? Well, there's two moments it can be done and by two different people. Either bilikichat ba'alim, when the ba'alim buy it, as he's buying the birds, if he says, I want this one for the ola and this one for the chatat, that does it. Then it's said. Or, iba asiyat kohen. Or when the kohen goes to do the sacrificing of it. The kohen, let's say the balim didn't designate it when they purchased it, then when the kohen gets up to start the avoda, he determines which is for which. Amar Rav Shimi bar Ashi, my tamid Rav Chista. So first we're going to see what's his reason, then we're going to have some questions on him. Dichtiv, it says in one verse when it talks about the Shnei Torim, this is by the Yoledet, it says, Vilakha, the Yoledet, what she's supposed to do, she purchases Shnei Torim, okay, here without reading the whole pasuk, it's hard to understand, O Shnei B'nei Yonah, Echad La'ola Ve'echad L'chatat. So notice it says there, she purchases them, Lakach means she purchases, and the Torah Lakach usually means purchase. She purchases Shnei Torim, Echad La'ola Ve'echad L'chatat. There you see a designation. And the next pasuk is by the Metzora, and it says, "Va'asa kohen et echav chatat et echad ola." The kohen does it, right? He does it. One lechatat, one lola. There you see that when he goes to sacrifice, he can designate it. Okay, so oba lekichat ba'alim, oba siat kohen. Okay, that's how we learn that those are the two moments. So now they say, "Meitivei, we're going to bring a contradiction to you, Rav Chista." Basau chatat. Okay, this is by the seirim in the goral. It says v'yakriv aharon et haseir asher ala alav agoral Hashem basau chatat. Now the way they assume, it could have just said he's makriv the seir. We know obvious, it's obvious which Seir Aharon is sacrificing in the Beit HaMikdash. It's obviously the one that the Goral said was Seir LaHashem. He's obviously not taking the Seir LaZalzel and sacrificing it in the Mikdash. So why does it say the words, the Seir that Alav HaGoral LaHashem, and then Asahu Chatat? It must be Asahu Chatat. Is that the Goral designated that that would be a Chatat? Okay? So HaGoral Oseu Chatat. Now, what do they say in this braita? Ve'en Hashem oseu chatat. Ve'en Kohen ose chatat. It's not calling it by name. It's not the Kohen who does it. It's the Goral. Sheyachol. Now, why do you need a special pasuk? Wouldn't it be obvious that the Goral is what designates? The pasuk says it very clearly. Take a Goral. Say, this is Lashem. This is Lazazel. It's pretty obvious. By the way, interesting. The word kalpi from the elections comes from here. This is the one of two places that Kalpi is mentioned in the Gemara, Dafka here, so in Yana Diyama. Okay. Sheyachol v'halo dinu. Now, you might have thought it was logical that what? That the Shem or the Kohen could also designate it as the Seir LaShem. This is one of those cases where you have to eliminate what you know to be truth, because we all know it's obviously the Goral, but theoretically what they're saying is without the Pasuk you might have thought so. Why? In a regular case where there's no goral, like one lechatat, one leola, they're comparing the two cases. Kidesh Hashem, by calling it by name, you can designate one for each. So makom shekadesh goral, ain't odin shekadesh Hashem. So when the goral is mekadesh, wouldn't you think, right? If normally the goral isn't effective, and yet calling it by name is effective, wouldn't you think that in this case, if the Goral, which doesn't usually work in other cases, can do it, obviously what works in other cases should also be effective. Okay, again, the logic is a little counter to what we might think from what we know about Yom Kippurim. The Goral is miyuchad. But they're saying, logically speaking, one would think it's the same. Talmud Lomar, that's why you need the Pasuk, Vasao Chatat, to teach you, HaGoral Oseu Chatat, Ve'en Hashem Oseu Chatat. It's not calling it by name that makes this the Chatat, it was the Goral. Now, Katane, shame. Now, what does that have to do with our issue? Because they compare in this shame, right, calling it by name, and goral. Shame dumia de goral. Ma goral lav belichicha v'lav ba'asiya. Af hashem nami lav belichicha v'lav ba'asiya. It says, just like goral is kovea. Now, goral, you don't do it when you buy them, and you don't do it when you sacrifice them. You do it in the in-between stage, right? You already have the seeding, and you're not yet sacrificing them. There's this in-between stage when you do it. So if they're comparing it to calling it by name, and it doesn't say anything about when you call it by name, it sounds like calling it by name whenever, which sounds like it's not just at these two moments in time, either the Kohen when he does the sacrificing or the owners when he purchases them or when she purchases them. It sounds like it's any time. So I'm a Rav, or it should be someone else. I don't remember, but maybe Rava. Mm-hmm. Is that what it says? Amar Rava. Hachi kamar. This is what it meant to say. Uma bimkom, and he's rereading the braita. Uma bimkom shelo kidesh hagoral b'lekichat ba'alim u'basiat kohen. Kidesh Hashem I b'lekichat ba'alim I basiat kohen. When they were comparing it to, they were comparing goral to kriyat shem, but not necessarily at the same moments in time. If when you do the goral, which is not at the time of the lekichat ba'alim or asiat kohen, but yet, Kidesh Hashem, either you can Kidesh Hashem at one of two possible moments, and then that would resolve the question against Rav Chisda, okay? So, Kan Shikadesh HaGoral, Shalob Lekicha V'Shalob Asiyah, Ein Odin Shikadesh Hashem, Iba Lekicha Iba Asiyah. Okay, so they just add in the words to the Braita of, oh, well, Kriyat Hashem, we obviously only meant either at that moment or at that moment, and then it doesn't contradict. Talmud Lomar V'Asao Chatat, HaGoral Oseu Chatat, Ve'en Hashem Oseu Chatat. Okay. Next question on Rav Chisda. Again, Rav Chisda said it's only at those two particular moments in time, purchase, right? It, by the way, it doesn't really say what if they're your own birds and you just take them and designate them. So then it could be designating would be the moment, okay? But otherwise, it's either right purchasing by the owner or avoda by the Kohen. Mitame mikdash ani shefrish ma'ot lekino veheshir. You have someone who is mitame mikdash and he's poor, and he sets aside ma'ot for his birds, v'he'eshir, and then he becomes rich. V'achar kach amar, and then he says, while he's rich, and he can only bring a kisparu si'ira, he can't bring the birds anymore, but he says, elu l'chatati ve'elu l'olati. Now, what stage is this? Not the stage where he buys it, and not the stage where the Kohen's doing the Avoda. So here you're going to see this is effective, and that's going to go against Rav Chisda. How do we know this is effective? Because if he says, I want this bird for my Chatat and this bird for my Ola, what does he do at this point? Well, it's kind of split. Mosifu mevi chovato midmei chatato, ve'ein mosifu mevi chovato midmei olato. He can't take the money of the Ola and purchase a Chatat from it. He can only take the money from the bird that he designated to be Chatat, use that money to buy his Kivsa. Why is that? We've learned this many times. The Ola is the highest sacrifice because it all gets burned. Once something's designated as an Ola, you can't use it for anything else. The only thing you could do with it is sell it and put the money to buy Olot Nidava. That's why all the extra money always goes to Olot Nidava, because that's the highest level offering because everything gets burned. Whereas the Chatat, the Kohen gets to eat some of it. So, therefore, what do you see here? It was effective what he said, because if it wasn't effective, theoretically, you could sell both birds. So you see that his designation of Ola and Chatat, even though it's not the moment he purchased it and it's not the Kohen doing it, is effective. Doesn't have lekicha, it doesn't have asiya. V'katane, what does it say? Maybe chovato midmei chatato v'lo midmei olato. So, how do we answer this against Rav Chisda? So Rav Sheshet's going to have an interesting type answer. What does he say? I'm Rav Sheshet. V'tizbra magnita metakantehi. You think this braita is a good braita? It's totally messed up. Okay? There's obviously a mistake here. Why? Dikatani v'heshir v'acharkach amar, right? He got wealthy and then he said, right, this is my ola, this is my chatat. V'ha amar Rabbi Elazar, amar Rabbi Yashaya, mitamei mikdash ashir shevi korban ani lo yatsa. If you take, right, a korban ani when you're rich, he's not yotze. So therefore, what he did should have been totally ineffective. Elamayit lach lameimar, shekvar amar mishat aniyato. It must be that he said it when he was still poor. In other words, it was that he had already before, when he was poor, he had said, this is my Ola and this is my Chatat, and therefore we can assume that he must have done it when he set them aside, which is also kind of the same as when he purchased them. And therefore, that's why this works, but this wouldn't be effective otherwise, and he has to change really the whole case of the Braita in order to say that, because it does sound like, right? Notice it's in brackets even, v'achar kach amar. Clearly the nusach of that braita originally said ashir, and then he bought it. Okay, but he's saying it must have happened when he was ani, because an ashir who brings a korban ani is certainly not yotze. Ula Rabbi Chaga, amar Rabbi Yoshaya, da amar yatsa. But there's a difference of opinion about what Rabbi Yoshaya really said. Some people say that he thinks an ashir that buys a korban, that brings a korban ani, is yotze. This is a fascinating discussion, really, because the Torah gives three options. Now, are those three options specific just to those individuals? What if somebody crosses over categories? What if he crosses over in one direction or in the other? So you might say, okay, I understand a rich person, if he can afford a bigger sacrifice, we don't allow him to bring the smaller sacrifice. And there's even a debate. Maybe he's yotze, because in the end, it's a korban olevi yoreh. Now, not lechatchila, but b'dieved, if he did it, it should be effective according to the second opinion here. It is effective. What about an ani bringing a korban ashir? What if he brings a korban ashir? Is that allowed? This is really interesting machloket. The Rambam says it's effective because, why? I mean, he went up in Kedusha. Better, right? All the more so. Even better. The Sefer Chinuch says no. Really interesting. He says, what do you mean? We don't want to encourage poor people to spend all their money on things they can't afford. If the Torah is giving us an option of don't spend all this money, then don't spend all this money. And it's a fascinating machloket between the mefarshim about how we perceive, right? You're better off, okay, we're getting up on arba minim, right? And we all know there's range of how much you can spend on your arba minim. And, you know, spend what you can afford. Don't, you know, yes, it's nice to do a hidur mitzvah, but, you know, maybe, I mean, it's not the same because here, you know, there's levels based on ani ashir and all that, but still, you could maybe take it to somewhere like that and think about it. Okay, so now, according to Rabbi Chaga, the name of Rosh Hashanah, who says, Yatsa ma'ika lememra, so how can you explain the braita then? Then it sounds like, right, by saying, elu l'chatati ve'elu l'olati, and it wasn't the moment, in other words, according to him, it's effective, so when he separates the birds, it was effective. At this point, he separated them earlier. Now, at a later point, when it's not connected to the time he bought them, he says, this is my chatat and this is my ola, and we see that it's effective. So, t'nei ba'achar kach lakach. He says, this is an easier changing of the braita. You don't have to change too many words. All you do is you say, oh, one word got lost there. It's says he was poor, he set aside his money, then he got wealthy, then he went and purchased the birds and said, this is my olan, this is my chatat. And that's an easier way of answering it. So, achar kach lakach ve'amar, and then at the moment of buying, he said. Okay, meitivei, another brayta that seems to contradict. Mitzora ani shehevi korban ashir yatsa. Here you have that source. Now here they talk about specifically by a mitzora. A mitzora, a poor mitzora that brings a korban ashir yatsa, we're going to see that they distinguish between a mitzora maybe and others. Okay, because there's a special drasha by a pasuk, and therefore this might not apply in all other cases. It's part of the debate about between the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch. So if you have a mitzora also there, right, it's not just in the sliding scale sin offering, it's also in the mitzora that you have the sliding scale, you can bring either animal or birds. So if he brings a korban ashir, yatsa, even though if he's poor, he can bring it. Ashir shebi korban ani, lo yatsa, but it doesn't work in the other direction. Tiyuvta Rabbi Chaga Amar Rabbi Yoshaya. Tiyuvta. So now they say this is a question on Rabbi Chaga in the name of Rabbi Yoshaya, who said that, right, you are Yotze, an Ashir that brings an Ani. So what do they answer? Rabbi Chaga Amar Rabbi Yoshaya Amar Lecha, he could say to you, Shani Gabe Mitzora, there it's a unique halacha. Demiet Rachmana Zot. It's a Zot Torah. You have to do it specifically in the way designated. Don't change. Well then, if you can't change, right, that explains why an Ashir who brings an Ani isn't Yotze. But he also said that an Ani that brings an Ashir is Yotze. So, Ihachi, Afilu Mitzora Ani Nami, Shebi Korban Ashir, Lo Yetze. So they say, lie. No. Ha Ahadre, Kra, the Torah, it says two things. Zot, Torat. Zot is limiting. They assume Torat is expansive. Okay? And therefore, Zot limits. The Ashir can't bring a Korban Ani. Torah expands that an ashir, an ani, can bring a korban ashir. But it's specifically by Metzora because of that drasha. V'hatanya Torah lerabot, and here's a braita that says it, Torah lerabot mitzora ani shevi korban ashir yatsa. Okay, they're going to say exactly this in the braita, what we just said. So Torah teaches you an ani that brings an expensive one is yotze. Yachol afilu ashir shevi korban ani sheyetze. You might have thought also a rich one that brings the poor would be yotze. Tomu lomar zot. So now they say v'leilach mina. Why don't we learn from here to the other cases, which then we're stuck with the question of Rabbi Chaga. Amar kra ve'im dalhu ve'en yado maseget. Because of the word who in that pasuk, it teaches you mitzora hu da ashir shevi korban ani hu de lo yetse. Aval mitame mikdash ashir shevi korban ani yetse. So Rabbi Chaga would say, because of the word who in that pasuk, if he's poor, if this person's poor, dafka only there it doesn't work. But that it's only for the poor. But when it comes to the other case of the sliding scale offering, there it would be effective. Okay, new Mishnah. Here comes a very interesting Mishnah to end the parak with. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kfasim kodmim itayizim b'chol makom. Every time in the Torah, or most times in the Torah, it brings up kfasim and izim. Kfasim is almost always mentioned first. Okay? Do you think this is significant? Well, let's see. Yachom mipnei shehem mufcharim mehem. Maybe kfasim are better than izim. Talmud lomar, v'im keves yavi korbano lechatat melamed sheshnehem shkulim. When it says v'im keves, when it talks about the korbano chatat, it says v'im izim, v'im ez, and then v'im keves. So therefore, there ez comes first. That's to teach you, don't think, and as they switch the order one time to teach you, don't think fasim are better, izim are just as good. Melamed sheshnehem shkulim, they're both equal. Torin kodmim lebnei yonah b'chol makom. Okay, even that says b'chol makom, it doesn't mean b'chol makom. We're going to see. Okay, when it says shnei torim or shnei b'nei yonah, the pairs of birds, you can either bring what are they called? What's the English word?
Turtle doves.
Turtle doves. Or pigeons. So it always says torim first, yachom b'nei shem u'farim. So maybe you're better off bringing those. Talmud lomar, b'nei yonah o tor l'chatat. Okay, in one place it says b'nei yonah first to teach you melamed sheshnehem shkulim. Ha'av kodem la'em b'chol makom. Here comes the interesting one, okay? When it comes to kibud av ve'em, or when it comes to references to av and em, it always says av first. Yachol mipnei shekibud ha'av kodem. Maybe it's because kibud av is more important than kibud em. Okay, not good for us women. Kodem al kibud ha'em. Talmud lomar, ish imo v'aviv tirao. Ah, when it comes to yirah, it always brings the mother first. There's all drashana. I'm not going to get into it now. But melamed sheshnehem shkulim, that's to teach you. In this case, they don't darshan what they normally darshan there. But here they darshan to teach you that they're both equal. Aval, Amru Chachamim, but here's an extra. Okay, so you're thinking we're equal. Eh. The rabbi said, Ha'av kodem la'em b'chol makom, mipnei shehu v'imo chayavim b'kvod aviv. But wives are required to respect their husbands, and the sons are required to respect their parents. Since the mother is required also to respect the father, therefore the children should respect the father first, and then the mother. Okay? Now, there's a really interesting debate here. First of all, where do we get this idea that wives are chayav to mechabed their husbands? And number two, it also says in the Gemara somewhere that husbands should be mechabed their wives also. So, because of that, some Mefarshim say it's actually from the Torah. Some say, no. Avalamu chachamim, it's clear the rabbis just instituted this because, right, and one could explain this societally. That was kind of the way things worked. Nowadays, one could look at this quite differently. And it's only derabanan. Some people say that where it says the issue about the husbands are supposed to respect their wives, there it says, if you respect your wife, I forget the wording, but it says something, you'll be praised, but it doesn't say you have to. So whereas women have to respect their husbands, husbands should respect their wives, and it's a good thing, it's looked upon favorably, but it's not that they have to. Anyway, that's an interesting aside, even if we don't love the conclusion. V'chein b'talmud Torah, also, if you have a rabbi that you learn with all the time, im zacha haben lefnei harav, harav kodem et ha'av b'chol makom, mipnei shehu v'aviv chayavim b'chvod rabo. Okay, so here you have, if you have the teacher and the father, you're chayav to respect both, but the father's also required to respect the rabbi, and therefore, they're both chayav. Therefore, better to do the rabbi first. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, if you thought that was interesting, wait till we get to this. Arba tzvachot tzavcha azara. There were four times where the azara cried out. Okay, the azara doesn't cry, right? That's the Beit HaMikdash. But the Beit HaMikdash, theoretically should have cried in these four instances you're going to see. The first and the last are bad. The two middle ones are good. Why it structured it in this way, I'm not really sure, right? Sometimes we cry out for good things. Sometimes we cry out for bad things. Okay, tzvacha achat. Here's the first. Hotziu mikam b'nei Eli Chofni u'Pinchas shetimu et ha'echal. Get rid of Chofni and Pinchas. Remember, they stole the meat from the people, and it says they did inappropriate things with the women, which they claim they kind of ate their meat and they took their stuff, and right, whatever the drashot are on that, but they did, right, they were Kohanim, and they acted inappropriately. All these things, by the way, are going to be related to Kohanim. Okay? Svacha shnia, the second one. Pitchu sha'arim. I was thinking, other than the first one, and maybe there's a girsa issue, I didn't look up, but all the others seem to reference Su'u Sha'arim Rashechem, the Su'u Pitchei Olam, the Mizmor Tehillim that we say, that has this idea of Ptichat Sha'arim, and Su'u Sha'arim, and Pitchu Sha'arim. Anyway, open the gates, V'yikanes Yochanan Ben Yidvai, Talmido Shal Pinchai. Some people say Pinchai is really Pinchas, and they changed his name for whatever reason. But he should come into the Beit HaMikdash, V'yimalei Kresomi Kodshei Shamayim. He should fill his stomach with kodshim. Why? Amru ben Yidvai shaya ochel arba se'ah gozalot b'kinuach su'uda. He knew how to eat well, and he ate tons of birds for dessert. Amru kol yamav lo hayan notar ba'azara. Because of him, there was never anything left over. Okay, classic, right? There's people who don't like leftovers, right? Aviva, I know with your family, the leftover issue, right? He was amazing because he ate everything up. Some people say, by the way, it wasn't that he was fat and he loved to eat and all that. It was that he always had guests and he would always invite people. It was actually a very positive thing. He would always include more people and manage to make sure everything was eaten. Tzvacha shlishi, the third one. Su'u sha'arim rashechem, right? Here's a direct quote from that mizmor. V'yikanes elishama ben pichai. Some people say it's actually a different girsa here, and it's a different kohen who was mentioned as he was a kohen for 80 years, a kohen gadol. If you remember, there was a whole problem with the kuna gadolah. People were buying their kuna, and generally it was switching all the time, but he was kohen for a long time. Talmido shel Pinchas, that's why some people think the other one is also Talmido shel Pinchas. V'yishamesh b'kuna gadolah, and he should come and be mishamesh b'kuna gadolah. Okay, he was obviously considered a respectable person. It doesn't say in the Gemara why, but he was a great Kohen. Okay, and the fact that he reigned for a long time, again, depending who he was exactly, but what we know about him. Tzvacha revi'it, pitchu sha'arim v'hotziu. Now we have the p'tichat sha'arim, but get rid of somebody. Who are we getting rid of? Yisachar ish kvar barkai. Shemechabed atzmo u'mevazeh kodshei shamayim. He respects himself, he has only respect for himself, but not for the kodshim. My Hava Aviv, what would he do that was so bad? Hava Karech Shirai al Yadei, he would put silk on his hands. Vahava Avid Avoda, first of all, there's an issue. You shouldn't have a chatzitza between your hands and the avoda. And he was kind of a little disgusted, right? One can imagine one would be a little disgusted by what goes on in the mikdash, but you're not supposed to act that way, right? And he was like kind of disgusted by it. He didn't want his hands to touch anything. I don't want to get my hands dirty. And because of that, he was more concerned with himself than he was with the respect for the kodashim. My slikale, so what happened to this guy? Interesting story. It's always fun when I end with stories. Yanai Malka Umalchata. So Yanai the king and the Malka, the queen. Habu Yatvin, I'm not going to get into who he was. We don't have a lot of time. But anyway, you can look him up. He and the queen were sitting. Malka Amar Gdi Ya'i. Umalchata Amar Imra Ya'i. So the melech was saying, I think the goats are better. And the queen was saying, I think that lambs are better. Amru nishai le liyasachar ish kfar barkai de kohen gadolhu bikim le kadera. This guy eats all the time kudshim. He knows the difference between them. Let's ask him. Shailuhu. So they asked him. Amar le, I gad yayai, if the gdi was better, yisak le tmeida. It would be used for the korban tamid. Right, what's the korban tamid? You bring it every day, twice a day. Et hakeves ha'chad taseh baboker, right? It's brought with kvasim, not with gedim. So he says very simply, without even thinking, it sounds like, right? He says, if it was the gedim, it would have been brought for the korban tamid. Bahade da'amar, and as he said that, achve biyade, he kind of like flippantly looked at Yanai, like, what were you thinking? Right? He kind of answered in this way. Of course it's obvious that this is the answer, that the gedi is better, is worse, because otherwise he would have been used for the korban tamid. Amar lahon malka, so Yanai got very angry that he was disrespectful to him, and he said, ho'il va'achve v'yade, because he did that flippant gesture with his hand, kotsu liyade diyamina, cut off his right hand. Yaiv shochta, so he bribed the officials not to cut off his right hand, but to bribe his left hand, to cut off his left hand, because he wanted his right hand. Kasu liyade smola, so they cut off his left hand. Shama Malka, the Yanai, the king, it got back to him what had happened. Amar liksu nami liyade diyamina. He said, cut off also his right hand. Okay, now, Amar Rav Yosef, Baruch Rachmana deshachle liyasachar ish kfar barkai limitripse. Okay, so now, he said, right, ligmulo, right, it said like he got his, what he deserved. Okay, this is what he deserved. Why is this what he deserved? Well, notice, what did he do wrong? He covered his hands. He was so protective of his hands, and his hands ended up getting severed. Amar Ashi, the lo habatane le ditnan, what's the problem? He could, and he should have known this from our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? Kvasim kodmim li'izim b'chol makom. Yachol b'pnei shem uvcharim, tamud lomar v'im keves. If he had just learned the Mishnah, he would have known. Ravina Amar, afilu mikra nami lo kara. Forget about Mishnah. He didn't even know Torah, basic Torah. What does it say? Dichtiv im keves im ez. Right? Because it says it in right. It says it actually should be im ez and then im keves. Right? That the order is switched in the Torah, and because of that, he should have known. Right? This is. No, sorry. This is just because it says in Chatat, im keves and im ez. Right? He can either bring a keves or an ez, which means that there's obviously no difference between them. That goes back to our Korban Chatat. You can bring one or the other. So there's clearly no difference. He didn't even know Torah. And here ends the Gemara with sentence that ends many Masechtot. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Tamidei Chachamim Rabim Shalom Ba'olam, Shene'amar V'chol Banayach Limudei Hashem V'Rab Shalom Banayach, Al tekre banayich ela bonayich. Right? It's tamidei chachamim that bring peace into the world. As it says, kol banayich limudei Hashem v'rav shalom banayich. Don't read it as banayich, ela bonayich. Okay. What's going on here at the end of the Masechet? What does this have to do with anything, really? So what I noticed was that from the last two dapim, if you look, there's a big comparison all the time. I'll give you a long list of things that they compare. Kala and chamura. We saw yesterday, right? There's kala to chamura and chamura to kala. Right, severe to light to severe. There's ani and ashir. There's kvasim and izim. There's av and aim. There's rav and av. There's ba'alim and kohanim, right? Ilikicha ba'alim, ibasiyat kohanim. There's torim b'nei yona. There's the melech, there's the malka. There's yamina smola, right? His right hand, his left hand. There's the kohen gadol, right? And who's, you know, like what's going on here is, you know, there's some kohanim dolim that were good. There's some kohanim dolim that were bad. And I think it's interesting, in light of elections also, about the danger of power, right? And that you think that there's these contrasts and that there's certain things that are better or there's a hierarchy in society and people should be better and some people are worse. and you think that there's, right, and the end of the Masechet is telling you, they're all shkulim. And yes, there's kohanim gedolim that are good, and there's kohanim gedolim that are bad. And there's a melech, and there's a malkah, and they have different opinions. And there's, the, everything is kind of shakul here. There's torim, there's b'nei yonah. This comes first. Oh, but that also sometimes comes first. Everything is about equality here. Now, what does this have to do with our Masechet? Well, our Masechet starts off with all the sins that one can do. Now, if you're going to make a hierarchy in society, the easiest one to do is sinners versus non-sinners. Now, even though, okay, we all sin somehow, but, right, it's sinners versus non-sinners. And maybe what they're trying to say, the whole Masechet is about atonement. And that when one atones, and it's a nice idea for the Yamim Noraim, that when one atones, basically you become back equivalent with everybody. It's the atonement that provides you with that opportunity for equality. And that maybe that's the idea of the Masechet here, is the importance of atonement, that it puts you on an equal level and it puts you back into society. We had this whole thing a long time ago, it's always one of my favorite sugyas, about in Sanhedrin, how do we know when someone's done tshuva, right? And how can we accept them back into society? And what this is saying, right, it's harder nowadays when we don't have korbanot and we don't have punishments that supposedly bring people back, but even then they weren't sure, right? Depending on what kind of sin it is, whether we can accept you back into society. But there it's really talking about for purposes of testimony. Can you testify in court? But when it comes to God and the way other human beings should view you, really, is that once you get atonement, you're basically like everybody. And the Masechet is really ending with this idea about everybody's equal. And I think that's the main thing that they want to address here. Okay. And obviously, it didn't need to be said, but all right, and this was really my election connection, which is, you know, don't take your power and abuse it and bribe officials and, you know, all of that, which obviously doesn't need to be said, but yet it's said right here in the Masechet. And what's the message in the end? It's Talmidei Chachamim Rabim Shalom. Why? What did Talmidei Chachamim do? They learned. What was his error? He spoke immediately without thinking, right? How many times do people, especially politicians, right? They say, if anyone watched the news last night, right? People were just saying, nobody knew anything, and they were just mouthing out anything that came to mind, right? Without really thinking. And that's what he did, and that's why he got killed, this Yisachar guy. Or not killed, but he got his hands cut off. But Talmidei Chachamim, if you really sit and learn, and it's really idealizing learning, learning is what brings knowledge. Knowledge brings understanding. You can understand the other opinion. What's the Gemara all about? There's different opinions. The only way, and this is really how it connects with elections also, which is the only way to really make peace is by understanding the other side. It's by seeing the other people's opinions and not just knocking them down, but actually listening and actually learning and understanding. And that's what brings shalom, according to the Gemara. And I think it's a very good message. Hadron alacha mi be'asham uslik ala masechet kritu. You hear it's some fanecha denial of Hinnabal Hail Potano, Shate Torcham and Utena Balamaze, Tain Manula Lama Bach, Hanina Bar Papa Rami, Bar Papa Nachma, Bar Papa Achai, Bar Papa Abamari, Bar Papa Rachman, Bar Papa Rachish, Bar Papa Surah, Bar Papa Adabar Papa Dara, Bar Papa. Harev Nadrana Hino at the Breto at Chabe, Finufi, Biotam Chabe Israel, Venia, Nan of Kulano, Anachm Tets, Enif Tets, Am Chabe Israel, Kulano, Desha Mechel, and De Torteha. May have I take a commanding with Totaka Kilo Lam Hili, Hili be Tamim Bukukak and Laman Loevosh. לעולם לא אשכח פיחודיך כי בם חייתני. ברוך אתה אדוני לבדינו ככה אמן 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 סלע. ועד. יהי רצון פניך אדוני אלוהי כשם שזאתנו לסיים מסכת כריתות וכן תעזרני לאתכם מסכתות וספרים אחרים ולסיימם ללמוד וללמד לשמור ולעשות ולקיים כל דברי תלמוד תורתך באהבה. זכות כל התנאים והמוראים ותלמידי חכמים יעמוד לנו ולזרענו שלא ימוש התורה מפינו ומפי זרענו וזרער זרענו עד עולם. ותתקיים בנו בתהלכך תנחה אותך, בשבחך תשמור עליך, והקיצה אותה היא תשיחך. כי יביאו יבוא ימיך ויוסיף לך שנות חיים, אורך ימים בימינה, בשמאלה, עושר וכבוד, אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום.